This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. When COVID-19 first hit the state and the governor began issuing her stay home, stay safe executive orders, concerns immediately rose for those living in abusive relationships. Domestic violence experts around the country told us to expect a spike in the number of domestic violence cases and in the number of people seeking shelter and assistance. To this point, part of that has turned out to be true. In my weekly conversations with Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton, he reports that the number of 911 calls for domestic violence has indeed gone up. However, we've not seen the anticipated surge at shelters or requests for counseling and support services. Joining me on the WEMU line today is Barbara Neese-May. Barbara is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor, and thank you so much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
When you and I last spoke, as Governor Whitmer was issuing that first stay-at-home order, you did anticipate an uptick in service requests. What have you seen between now and then?
Well, actually, David, in the first few days, we did see an uptick of people calling. And I think it's because survivors have learned how to survive and they were trying to plan and figure out what the landscape was going to look like for them. But I think the shutdowns came so quickly. And with safety planning, it takes time. And I think a lot of survivors just ran out of time. And so now they're doing what they do well, and it's surviving.
As you said, some of them just ran out of time. So one of the fears you have constantly expressed was that these survivors would lose the ability to even get out of the house for just a little while to escape harm, but also lose the ability to reach out for help when the situation becomes more dire. So is that what you believe is happening? Is that why you haven't seen the uptick?
Yes, we do recognize that, you know, the sheriff's office has seen an uptick in 911 calls, but that's like absolute last resort type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to our other programs and services, we get it that, you know, short of people being frightened for their life, they may not feel like they can call to take advantage of those resources that we have available to them. So the bottom line is that survivors right now don't have the privacy to seek out help and support. We don't think that assailants are all of a sudden behaving. We do think that there are probably more instances of domestic violence that are happening in our communities. Survivors just don't have the privacy to reach out. And also, they're always thinking about the future. And if they were to be starting to think about, well, if I have to leave, where would I go? And how would I find housing in this environment? How would I find a job? How would I handle things? We are hearing from some survivors that they're scared to even call the police because they feel like because of jail releases, would they actually be held in the jail?
So I wanted to touch on those jail releases because some who had previously sought help and their assailants landed in jail. COVID-19 has resulted in a great number of inmates at both the county and state level being released out of a public health concern. I assume that would just inspire panic in a survivor who had actually previously sought help.
Yes, absolutely. While they are being released with no contact orders and things like that, it's still like, where are they going to go?
Right.
Especially if they don't have any money, and how would they go to a hotel? And survivors would go stay with friends and family. Assailants stay with friends and family.
And no, you can't.
That's just not happening.
Well, the Washtenaw County Sheriff, for every inmate released, puts them through a stringent risk assessment process. Most violent offenders are not released, and the sheriff's office is confident in its process and that it's not impacting the public safety. Now, you come from a different perspective. What level of faith do you have in that process?
I actually have a lot of faith in terms of what they're doing for jail releases. We're doing something unique in our community, and I'm sharing it with other communities around the state. When they are considering a release, there is information that, you know, the judges get the list and we get the list at the same time so that we have the opportunity to raise concern and participate in survivor advocacy when it comes to jail releases. So there are no surprises, which is really important. The bigger concern, though, is when someone, you know, commits domestic violence, absolutely the police are responding in all the communities that we serve. Because I know that they're reducing face-to-face, but in situations of domestic violence, they're absolutely responding. But for the jail to hold them is a whole other story. And I know that the sheriff's office and the jail command are doing all that they can to protect and support survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. We want survivors to know that.
This is 89.1 WEMU. You were talking about domestic violence during the coronavirus pandemic with Barbara Neese-May. She is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor. Now, we know that many survivors of domestic violence have children, and with families in virtual quarantine, the tensions rise, the tempers flare, and the number of child abuse cases is on the rise as well. Does having children and subjecting them to potential abuse inspire finding a way out, or does it more often create greater fears about leaving?
Well, I think this is where it's similar to pre-pandemic. Survivors have always been considering the circumstances of their children when making decisions for their safety. They're always, you know, putting their children first and thinking about, oh, how do I protect them? How do I survive without them seeing or knowing or feeling or experiencing? And while we know kids pick up on things that we're not even aware of, we do believe that survivors are continuing and maybe even have an even more heightened concern for their children and are making, you know, taking necessary steps to manage that the best they know how.
Assailants tend to utilize power and control tactics in ensuring their victims do exactly what they want. And when the victims don't, obviously the ramifications can be brutal. Are those tactics likely to be more successful when there is no break from one another in a lockdown situation?
Yeah, isolation is one of the key tactics of maintaining power and control over a survivor for an assailant to do that. And now it's sanctioned. And in addition to that, a key part of safety planning and escaping is having privacy to make plans and actually waiting for the assailant to be away so that they can leave safely without a confrontation with the assailant. So it's the perfect situation for assailants to always know what's going on with the survivor and to exacerbate and control more about what they know and what they learn and what they have access to. Friends and family are so important because they may not be able to have their phone, but they may be able to go for a walk with a neighbor that they feel like, oh, well, they don't know anything. So that's something that we keep in mind.
Our conversation with Barbara Neese-May continues on 89.1 WEMU. She's Executive Director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor. You've not seen the surge in calls as you first imagined to this point, but as the economy reopens and survivors get that time and space to reach out, do you expect that surge will come?
You know, there are days where I absolutely expect it, and there are days where I absolutely pray it will come because I'm so worried for survivors. I'm also worried that assailants may say, oh, you know, she has more privacy. She's able to make be more independent. Maybe I'm going to back off. And then survivors will feel like, well, it's not been so bad lately. And, you know, they know what they're capable of. And so they may actually stay because of that. And we want to encourage survivors to call us when they have a private moment, because just because they're calling Safe House doesn't mean that they're saying they're going to leave. It's to talk through what's happened. It's to talk through their options. Also, we recognize that survivors of sexual assault may not be reporting either. And we want them to know that, again, they can call us just to talk things through. We're free, we're confidential, 24/7 trained staff that are available, because this isn't going to end anytime soon. And if with surges, there could be people, you know, getting some normalcy, and then it could wind up being pulled back and going back into a stay home, stay safe. You know, I don't disagree with what have been done to support everybody in this pandemic. What I am saying, though, is that we should try and find ways for survivors to get help and support more so than normal, so that they can feel comfortable to reach out and to not feel like it's a dead end.
It was one of the things I was thinking of, that, you know, given social distancing guidelines and a survivor's potential fear of exposing themselves or their children to COVID-19 by being in such close quarters at a shelter, is there a plan in place to handle the potential of case overload? I know many of the area's homeless are being put up in hotels to better protect public health. Is that something that could happen if survivor demand dictates?
Yes, absolutely. We have a plan A, B, and C, and we're really fortunate that our partners at the local and state level have been very in tune with what we're requesting and are ready and waiting for that kind of help and support to happen. So So I would hate for survivors to feel like, well, they've run out of room and they don't have a place for me. That's something we can certainly sort out.
I want to thank you for the time and for sharing the information today, and we will have occasion to talk again soon.
Thank you very much, David. I really appreciate your attention to this issue.
That is Barbara Neese-May. Barbara is Executive Director of Safe House Center in Ann Arbor. If you are a survivor of domestic violence and in need of immediate assistance, call 911. To access 24-hour support services through Safe House Center, call 734-995-5444. You'll find all the information you need to know at safehousecenter.org, and we'll make sure you can access everything you need through our website as well at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.